My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey.
It's Hoffman's show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app, exploring the best case and worst case scenarios for a couple of key Commanders this year, and specifically some of the new additions. What would it mean for the team if the absolute best version of them showed up? What would that look like? What does it mean for the team? And then what about the other way? What happens if it all goes wrong? Anthony is tossing him up. I'm trying my best to knock him out of the park. Anthony, we hit Brandon Coleman first. Nice little leadoff double. What do we got now? Who's next on your list that we would like to explore?
All right. Next is Cliff Kingsbury.
You're just trying to, like,
we're going to save Jaden for last.
It's not even that. I didn't think coaches were on the table.
All right. Hey, look, we don't have to.
Look, I can make it quick. I can make this one quick.
All right,
look,
real quick.
If Cliff is at his best, then Jaden's going to have a really, really great rookie year. He's going to be in the mix for rookie of the year. This offense is going to score well over 20 points a game. Like, we're talking like 22 to 24 points a game. And he'll utilize, like, Terry's going to have a monster year. If Cliff is at his worst, they'll probably start fine. We'll see a bunch of promise, and then defense is going to catch on, and it's going to be a really rough December and January. That is the difference in this team winning 5 or 6 games or this team winning 10 or 11 games. So, yeah, the coordinator is important. The reason I don't think talking about the coordinator is that exciting in this exercise is that's every coordinator, yep, specifically every offensive coordinator in the entire league, whether they're new or not.
That's fair. All right, we're going to hard pivot. Jaden Daniels, your guy.
Okay, Jaden Daniels.
This one's going to be fun.
Yeah, I mean, in some ways, this is not that different from any quarterback in terms of the importance to their team, right? If Jaden plays his absolute best, this team could win 10, 11 games. If Jaden does not play his best, then they're going to not win a lot of games. So that is the obvious team thing. As for what that actually looks like, because that wasn't very specific or insightful analysis, I think the best version of Jaden is one that is aggressive in pushing the ball down the field, continuously gives guys a lot of vertical shots, is on time regularly. He actually doesn't, he's not making a ton of plays off schedule because he doesn't have to. I think and that's specific to Jaden, right? Is he's not a guy that is going to have a long time to throw number. That's one of the numbers I'm going to be tracking for him this year, is like, how often is he getting rid of the ball in under 3 seconds? And I want him to have one of the better rates in the league. One, I think schematically, to go back to Cliff and rope him back in, I think the screen game is going to be a big part of what they do, and that obviously brings that average down. But I also think Jaden doesn't need a lot of time to read the field. He's very, very good at processing things quickly. And even when he's aggressive throwing the ball down the field, he makes up his mind and he gets the ball out, which I think is ultimately a good thing. Because, for instance, I was watching a bunch of Baker Mayfield stuff this morning. I was watching all his deep throws last year. And there are times where he's really good at this, where he just is like, I'm going deep here. And he gets the ball out, and that middle field safety or even a cover 2 safety can't get to a ball on the sideline because it's thrown decisively enough, and that also saves pressure from being an issue. Well, Baker's accuracy left some to be desired, to say the least, and that's why Tampa is not a more potent offense, and why Baker has been a little more hit or miss as a guy throughout his career, is that that accuracy can come and go for him in a way that I think the best version of Jaden is far more consistent. I think also, obviously, we'll see some of the middle of the field reading and some of the layering of throws that you didn't see as much in college because the game's going to demand that of him and he steps up to that plate. The worst version of Jaden Daniels this year struggles with all of that. Struggles with getting the ball out on time. It's a little muddy for him. I think the worst version of Jaden Daniels this year probably winds up running quite a bit because he just doesn't see it cleanly and he's like, ah, screw it. And that still might be effective to a point, but I think there are diminishing returns there versus just getting the ball out quickly to the playmakers. It's one that probably falls a little too in love with Terry McLaurin, which I didn't think was possible after the ignorance of Terry the last couple of years in terms of OCs ignoring the fact that they have an incredible player on the outside. But I think he could overlock into him, and that could, you know, cause a couple of extra picks and turnovers. I think the worst version of Jaden probably takes more hits than you like. And if we're being honest with the repercussions of that, the worst version of Jaden probably doesn't finish the season. That's not the version I anticipate. And again, that version wins you 5-6 games. The best version wins you 10 or 11. And realistically, he'll probably be somewhere in the middle and they win, you know, somewhere between 7 and 9 games. And Jaden hopefully progresses as the year goes and things just get cleaner and better and more efficient. And they do a good job of managing him, and the season gets to be called a success, whether they make the playoffs or not.
Dan, you got me excited for this season.
Let's go.
Next player I will want to do a best case, worst case on would have to be Mikey Samristil.
Okay, then we're going to get out of the rookie realm. There's two vets I want to talk about, and if you're not going to pick them, I will. I think you know who they are, though.
Yes.
Okay, Samristil. So here's... Let me ask you a question. Let me answer your question with a question. Is the best version of Mike Samristil playing inside and outside, or is he just owning the slot? Snap in, snap out. You know, 70%+ of snaps that he plays. Because I think the best thing for the team is that he doesn't, right? The best thing for the team is that Forbes and BSJ are good enough that Samristil doesn't have to play multiple roles. That when there's two corners on the field, he just gets to rest. That he's not actually out there. Then he comes in nickel situations, which will be a lot. It will be the predominant number of snaps this year. He'll play more than he sits. As long as he's healthy, right? And I think the best version of that Mike Samristil is someone who creates, let's say, 5+ turnovers. Maybe it's 3 interceptions, a forced fumble in the field of play, and he gets a strip sack at some point blitzing off the corner. Right, it's a guy that you can rely upon in the run game as a corner to come up and make tackles and fit runs and make life miserable for offensive linemen that are out in space trying to get him. Like, you think you got him, nope, he slithers around you, and now all of a sudden he's making a tackle at the line of scrimmage. I think that's the best version of Mike Samristil, and one that continues to help everybody get organized, is a good communicator. I don't know that he'll be like team captain by the end of the year because there's too many other good vets around that he doesn't need to do that, but like, we all know that in the future, he's going to be that. He and Jaden are the two guys that are going to lead this franchise if they get where they want to go, like literally lead it. So I think the best version of Samristil, you know, for the team, you know, he affects winning. You know, if he really struggles, that could be an issue. But, you know, he's a corner. He's 1 or 2 games from best to worst. Realistically, how much does it change any particular outcome? But I think he'll make some game-changing plays, create some turnovers, and he doesn't get beat a lot, right? Like, that's the other thing, too, is, like, he's consistent on top of that. I think the worst version of Samristil in his rookie year is the game's a bit much for him, and he's got to figure out how to play at his size. That in the run game, teams are able to take advantage of him. They also figure out in the pass game that maybe some bigger receivers can hit certain routes on him, and he doesn't quite have the length to make up for it. Again, do I think that's going to happen? No, especially the latter. I think some teams will probably get him in the run game. He's a rookie. He's going to learn. It's hard. It's hard for the best nickels in the league So it's going to be hard for him as a rookie, even if his compete level's, you know, 11 out of 10. But realistically, if we're doing best case, worst case, like, he gives up some big plays, especially in big spots. He's unreliable in coverage on third down when a lot of teams attack the slot and teams take advantage of him in the run game. That would be the worst version of a Mike Sanders still rookie season. I don't think that's going to happen consistently. I do think it'll probably happen some. Like, if we where's the middle of the reality? I think it probably happens some, but that's life in the NFL when you're a rookie. So as long as it gets better as the year goes, that's success for Mike Sanders, though.
I think if he starts the season strong in the slot, I would not be opposed to seeing him in two cornerback sets just because he sort of kind of is asserting himself as our best corner. A lot of the best corners in the NFL, they're starting to play that star role or, you know, in the nickel, and then like in two cornerback sets, they go back to the outside. So if he wants to be like a Marlon Humphrey, a Kenny Moore, a Jalen Ramsey, a Jair Alexander, Marshawn Lattimore.
Most of those guys have size, though. That's the thing. He's so...
But Jair is a little small. Marlon Humphrey...
Jair's got length, though.
Yeah, he do.
So
and Marlon.
Yeah, so...
They're a little bit bigger.
They're definitely a little bit bigger. It's I'm not telling you... The best thing for the team is obviously that St. Juice and Forbes are both excellent. Workout. But I don't think it's a terrible thing if he winds up playing out on the outside. If he's actually good at it. If he earns it, that he's really, really good, and they're not just doing it because it's like, he's better than these other two schmucks, then that's fine. And to be clear, I do not think that BSJ and Forbes are schmucks. I'm actually really excited to see what happens with them this year. All right, last but not least, who do you want, Wagner first or you want Ertz first?
I think we should go Wagner and actually go Ertz, then end with Wagner.
Okay, so the best version of Zach Ertz is a Pro Bowl tight end. And I know that might sound crazy, but like this dude in camp was killing people. He has a great rapport with Jaden Daniels. He was really effective in the red zone. And we're talking about a guy that, you know, has 65 to 80 catches, 7 or 8 touchdowns, is a consistent threat, and he stays on the field all year. The worst case is, let's be real, he gets banged up. He's never quite right. And he's just not that effective. That they try to get the ball to him in big spots. He can't separate. He can't get open. It's not there. And he's not offering you a lot as a blocker. And he's just kind of a veteran that's taking up a roster spot. And I think he'll be a good soldier. I think you know, where he's at this point in his career, like, if he realizes he don't got it, then, you know, we'll see what that means by the end of the year. But he came into this camp healthy. He looked phenomenal in camp. I think I'm not saying that you're going to have 60 or 75 catches and 8 touchdowns from Zach Ertz, but like if you told me that he misses 3 games and if you extrapolate his numbers over 17 games, he would have had that, I'd believe that in a second. So I'm pretty pumped for Zach Ertz. And that, by the way, could be the difference in winning 9 games versus 6 games. Like he could be that important to this team. Third downs, red zone, etc. Bobby Wagner, I think... Bobby Wagner might have the biggest best case, worst case swing on the entire team. Best case scenario, he's still 90% of Bobby Wagner. He led the NFL in tackles last year. Could he do that again? Yeah, he did it last year. And then maybe they find ways to make sure that he can still do what he needs to do in coverage. And he's still a Pro Bowl caliber player. Maybe he's not all pro anymore. Maybe he's not the best. He's not Fred Warner, but like he's a damn good football player. The worst case scenario is he fell off the cliff and he's cooked. And again, am I predicting that? Nope. I don't want Bobby Wagner coming for me saying, I heard you said I was cooked. I didn't say that. I just said the reality is at this age of being a football player in the NFL, eventually you get to a stage where you can't do it anymore. And if Bobby Wagner gets to that and he's cooked, this team better hope that Jordan McGee is really ready to play a lot of football and that Bobby Wagner is an excellent quasi coach. Realistically, I think he'll probably be closer to the guy he was last year. I think he knows how to take care of his body. I think Bobby Wagner's a guy that will probably wind up retiring because he wants to, not because he has to. That would be my guess. He's definitely not A-plus Hall of Fame level Bobby Wagner anymore, but is he a top half of the NFL middle linebacker? Hell yeah, he is, or he was last year. So that's the best case scenario for, or the most likely scenario for Bobby Wagner. And again, difference in, you know, a game or two from best case to worst case, probably in the win column. That's our best case, worst case, Anthony. We did it.
Loved it.
We did it. We waited months to do that.
We did indeed.
We hope that you enjoyed it. Okay, here's what we need next. We need your help. 301-230-0980. 301-230-0980. Anthony and I are going to pick three games against the spread every single week in a little something we're going to call Competition Wednesday. And a nod to Dan Quinn's Competition Wednesdays. And we want to put some stakes on the line. We want to make it a real competition. So what should be a punishment for the loser and or a reward for the winner? We'll take your calls. And Anthony, it's Wednesday. We need to pick the actual games. So we'll do that over the next half hour here on The Hoffman Show.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.